Good morning, everyone. I want to greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior this morning. I was blessed by the service as well this morning, the Sunday school discussion, the songs that we sang, the devotional meditation. Tyler mentioned there was a man, young man, that was looking for something. There's a lot of people in the world like that today, searching, looking for something. There's a lot of people in the churches today that are searching for something. He was turning to the wrong places. I'm thankful that he found someone that can point him to the right place to find fulfillment in that something. That just parallels a little bit with the burden of the message that I have this morning. We're going to be looking, first of all, in John chapter 8. You can turn there in your Bibles. To John chapter 8. So the title of the message this morning is Truth and Freedom. I don't feel like I have an awful lot to share. I ask you to pray for me as we go through the message. Might be a little bit shorter sermon this morning, but I think there's a lot of truth that we can learn from this. Of course, we're going to be talking about truth. But I think the primary focus is going to be on freedom. One thing that man Tyler referenced to was looking for something. He was looking for freedom. He was finding it in the wrong places. I had to think of how many people in the world are like that, searching for freedom. Let's start with verse 31 in John chapter 8. And we're just going to read to verse 36. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So this is a setting where Jesus was in the temple and he was teaching the Jews. They were religious people. They were raised in a religious setting. And they were the children of Abraham. They talk about that in this passage, in these verses. And he said to those Jews which believed on him, he was telling them about himself and how they are from the world. And he says, I am from above, and it's hard for them to understand because they have carnal nature, they have a carnal mind, and they didn't have a spiritual perception of who Jesus was at this point. They asked him in verse 25, "Who art thou? Who are you?" And he had told them, "Even the saying that I told you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I've heard from him." I'm sent from God, my Father. And they didn't understand this. This was hard for them to understand. And he said to them in verse 28 that when you have lifted up the Son of Man, he's talking about when he would be lifted up to be crucified, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he was telling them this, they were starting to understand. There was a lot of them that believed on him. And he says to them, which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, I thought of how that parallel with our Sunday school lesson about abiding in Christ. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Jews were arguing with Jesus. They said, How can you set us free? We're not in bondage. We're not slaves. They said that we're Abraham's descendants. So we've never been slaves to anyone. So what do you mean you're going to be made free? Jesus' answer is very clear. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant or slave of sin. And that's what he's talking about. Anyone who is living in sin is a slave to sin. And only Jesus can free us from this bondage of sin. I talked about a little bit about, you know, there's a lot in the world that are searching for something. But that applies to us in church too. We're all searching for something. Freedom from sin. And we can only find that through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Freedom from this bondage of sin is only available as we die to self and live for Him and abide in Him. A little bit of American history. On July 4th in 1776, there were 13 colonies that declared independence from the rule of Great Britain. And we know this as Independence Day. And they had a writing called the Declaration of Independence. And included in this declaration, it was a pretty long article. It had this phrase. It says that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. And this marked the beginning of the country that we live in. Overall to the world, the United States of America is known as the land of the free and a land of opportunity as people can better their lives and ultimately have freedom. And I'm thankful today for the freedoms that we have here in our country, in the country we live in. And especially the freedom of religion. You think of, I think it was Brother Curtis mentioned in his prayer this morning about those that are suffering in China, suffering persecution. There's a lot of people around the world that don't have this freedom. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. We have a lot of things to be thankful for in this country. But I guess that's not exactly the point that I want to make. The point that I would like to make is this. Many people who are living in this land of freedom, the land of the free, are living in bondage. And many people, I'm afraid, are in churches, are living in bondage. Because, brothers and sisters, true freedom is freedom from sin. That is true freedom. We're going to be talking about that as we go through the message. Truth and freedom. Let's turn to the book of Philemon. My mind went to the story of Onesimus. In the book of Philemon, I think we're just going to go ahead and read the whole chapter here. starts out with verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And as we read this passage, or this chapter, I'd like to, a lot of times the focus is on Philemon. I'd like to think of the focus on Onesimus this morning as we read this chapter, or read this book. Verse 2, and to our beloved Apphira and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So Onesimus was living in bondage. Not just because he was a slave to Philemon, but because he was living in sin. When he ran away from his master, Philemon, Onesimus was still in bondage to his sin. He wasn't free. He was still in bondage. But then he met Paul, and Paul told him about Jesus, who could free him from this bondage of sin. And Onesimus, through that, found true freedom when the blood of Christ cleansed him from his sin. Only then did he become free. So when Onesimus went back to Philemon, yes, he was going back to serve his master. He was going back into slavery. But he was still free. And it's interesting how this was written by Paul, who was in bondage himself. He was a prisoner for Jesus Christ, for his faith. So before he found this true freedom in Christ, Onesimus was not profitable to his master, Philemon. I don't know what the details were. I don't know. Maybe he even stole from Philemon. He probably complained every time he was told to do something. Probably chafed at everything he had to do. I'm pretty sure he didn't work willingly. Had to be forced to do everything. And when he was commanded to work and he was forced to do it, he probably didn't do more than he had to. And most likely he did a lousy job because his heart wasn't in it. He was in bondage. But after he found true freedom from sin, Onesimus was a different person. He no longer had to be punished to work willingly. He wanted to serve his master. And to Philemon, he was no longer just a dirty old slave that didn't want to do his work. He was now a brother in Christ. Someone who he loved. To Onesimus, Philemon was not just an overbearing master anymore. He too was someone he loved. He was a brother in Christ. What a difference it made to be freed from sin. They were brothers in Christ. Even though Onesimus was serving Philemon, his master, he was free. I'd like to talk a little bit, have only 2 points, but I'd like to talk a little bit about how to find true freedom from sin. And the first thing that must happen is we must believe in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that must happen, no matter what. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way that we can find freedom from sin. You know, it's interesting how it's our nature, our natural tendency to justify our sins by comparing them to other people. Well, I'm definitely not as bad as that person. And I certainly am not as bad as this person. And if I compare myself to the rest of the world, I'm pretty good. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That applies to everyone. Whether we grew up in a Mennonite home or grew up in the world or whatever our setting is, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And along with that, we can never win the battle over sin on our own. I don't want to sound discouraging, but we cannot do it on our own. It's only through the power of Christ that we can find true freedom from sin. No amount of determination, no amount of resolve is going to be enough in our battle against sin. Yes, we need resolve and determination and make choices that will take us toward Christ and away from sin. But it's only through the power of Jesus that we can really find that freedom from sin. The second point on how to find true freedom from sin is we must be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Turning back to John chapter 8. In verses 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If ye continue in my word, to be a disciple of Jesus, we must live according to his teaching. And Jesus taught some pretty hard things. We talked about some of those in the instruction class this morning about loving our enemies, And when someone takes something from you, to not try to take it back by force. And someone hits you, to turn the other cheek. Those are some pretty hard things. But that's what must be done to be a disciple of Jesus and to be a follower of Jesus and to find that freedom from sin. To be a disciple, we must live according to his teaching. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And it says to take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a daily thing. So many times we blame our circumstances and other people for causing us to sin. But it's only when we deny ourselves that we can find true freedom from sin. It's not about what I want, but it's about what God wants. You know, I had to think of Joseph as a good example of this. Kenton, what if your brothers all of a sudden decided they wanted to throw you in a pit and get rid of you? And then they dug you out and sold you to a bunch of people from another country that you had no idea who they were. And you had a surrounding of people that you had no idea who they were, and you were tempted, like with Potiphar's wife, like he was tempted. How would you feel? Probably pretty discouraged. I'm not trying to pick on you, but that's think about that. How would you feel in that setting? If anybody had a right to feel sorry for himself, it was probably Joseph. But he didn't. And then he was put in prison because he was falsely accused and put in prison. But even in prison, Joseph was free because he chose to allow this to be in God's hands and not blame everyone else around him for his circumstances. What a testimony, what a picture. Can you and I do that today, brothers and sisters? Can we look past what's happening to me here and now and let it in God's hand and allow him to work in our lives? Through his time in prison, God used Joseph. And then he was set free and made ruler over the kingdom of Egypt. But really, was that his true success? I think his true success was when he was able to be reunited with his family. And he forgave his brothers for what they had done. People hurt us sometimes. Sometimes those that are closest to us hurt us. But we can find freedom through forgiveness. It's all part of denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. True freedom is freedom from sin. I'd like to read a little bit out of Romans chapter 7 yet. And turn to Romans chapter 7. And we're going to start at verse 16 and read all the way through chapter 8, verse 2. I'm intrigued by this chapter and the wording that Paul uses, but it's so real. The verse, I guess I would say, first of all, that I want to kind of paint as a backdrop or a focus is in verse 24. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he goes on and he's talking about the struggle with sin If then I do that which I would not, verse 16, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I want to do what's right, but I can't find the power to do it. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Where can I go to find freedom with this inward struggle with my carnal nature? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What a struggle. Can you relate to that? Struggle with your own carnal, sinful desires. You know, as Christians, we want to do what God wants us to do. But we have the desire to please the flesh. It doesn't go away. So it's an inward battle. And he says, who can deliver me from this carnal nature? It's only when we die to self and live for Christ that we can find victory and freedom from sin. I'd like to talk a little bit, or read actually a poem that I found, and I couldn't find the author's name, but it's the parable of the kite. And I don't know, maybe some of you have probably heard different versions of this, but I was just intrigued by this poem and the message of the parable of the kite. There once lived a girl so faithful and true, with so much potential, so much she could do. Her favorite pastime was spent in the park, flying her kite from dusk until dark. Her father had built it, a bright, sturdy frame. It seemed to hold up when the strong whirlwinds came. It had a long tail, and what joy it could bring, as it flew through the air, held tightly by the string. Her father had warned her to hold on quite tight. The trial of the wind could put up a big fight. This daughter grew restless just watching it fly. She wanted to see it soar deep in the sky. One day she decided that it wasn't fair to punish this kite and to hold back the air. The kite deserved more than the same point of view. If she just let it go, it could fly away too. Because she was struggling, life was so hard. She longed for the freedom to let down her guard. Rules and commandments were causing such strife. They just held her back. There was so much more to life. In just a brief instant, she cut off the string. She took a deep breath as the air caught the wing. It spiraled, it turned, and quite soon she found her precious kite mangled and crushed on the ground. She then heard her father, his voice calm and true. My child, these commandments were given for you to help you and guide you and keep you afloat, just as the string has preserved your invaluable kite. I love you. I need you. You're precious to me. If you keep my commandments, they help make you free. Free to fly high, free from the sorrow, free to awake without guilt for tomorrow. My daughter, please know that I'm sending my love. I'll guide you, I'll hold you with strength from above. As I hold your string, I won't let you down. I promise in heaven that you'll get your crown. I had to think of some other scenarios along with this illustration. The kite is your life. The string is the law of God and salvation through Christ. The wind is the world around us with every wind of doctrine and fads and fashions that are appealing to the flesh. And I think of a tail. Did you ever see a kite fly without a tail? It kind of goes and swirls around. It doesn't stay very steady. It can't stay upright without the tail. The tail brings stability. Could we liken the tail to the rules and guidelines in the church? They are not our salvation, but they help to keep us upright and pointing upward to God. That is the goal in our life, to stay upward, stay afloat, and point upward to God, to glorify God with your life. Let's remember the parable of the kite. In closing, I'd like to just read a few more verses back in John chapter 8. Verses 36 to 47. John 8, 36, Jesus is continuing on. He says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." And they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." And they said unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he has sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Satan would like to hide or twist the truth about freedom. He is a liar and the father of it. And he paints a picture that freedom is found in pursuing and satisfying the desires of your carnal nature. But it's a lie that leads to destruction. Just like cutting the kite string, it's a downward spiral. Let's remember that. True freedom is freedom from sin. I just want to read, you can turn with me in your psalm books, Hymns of the Church. Number 747. I just really was blessed by the message of this song, the words of this song. Sometimes I think just reading it helps the words to sink in. 747. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Verse 2. Freedom from all the carnal affections. Freedom from envy, hatred, and strife. Freedom from vain and worldly ambitions. Freedom from all that sadden my life. Freedom from pride and all sinful follies. Freedom from love and glitter of gold. Freedom from evil, temper, and anger. Glorious freedom, rapture untold. Freedom from fear with all of its torments. Freedom from care with all of its pain. Freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer. He who has rent my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom. Wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator. An emancipator is someone who sets someone else free. Now and forever, he shall be mine. Let's bow for a kneel for prayer.